Hello and welcome to the Frugalpreneur podcast for people who want big venture for little capital. I'm your hostess, Shannon, and after a long absence in order to finish up my master's degree in sociology, I am happy to report that I am all done with that crazy jazz and I am back in the studio recording new episodes with some amazing entrepreneurs, authors, and just all around cool people. But speaking of graduation, I had the amazing opportunity to recently interview Amanda Abeya of GradMeetsWorld.org. Now, while Amanda's blog does cover a lot of issues surrounding employment for recent graduates, she covers a lot of informative ground around starting your own brand, developing your voice in the blogosphere, and using a blog to leverage your audience for your other goals. Speaking of which, Amanda has been able to use her blog to spawn her own passion for life coaching and is working on certification. And she also recently launched the Better Blogging Jam Sessions to help newbie bloggers identify their audience and create killer content with their own unique perspective. I really enjoyed this interview, and it's filled with some funny moments and awesome gems that you are surely going to enjoy. So thanks again for tuning in and enjoy the interview. All right. Hi, everyone. Right now we have the amazing Amanda Abeya on the phone from GradMeetsWorld.org. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Shannon.
Welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I am awesome now that you're here. So I think it's a win-win.
I have that effect on people.
You do. You do. You have that dynamic awesomeness that just radiates through the Skype line. So that's good. We're happy to have you here, and today we're going to be discussing some of the ins and outs and pointers that you have on figuring out your own brand. So before we get into that about developing a brand as a business and blogger, could you tell us a bit more about yourself and what you're about, where you've come from, and what you're up to?
Sure, but first, can I thank you and admit my blogger crush on you, because I've watched all your videos, literally spent last weekend watching all of them, and I'm addicted to Shop It To Me and Birchbox and all that good stuff. So
it's a sickness.
I think you were doing an awesome job with your blog, and I was so excited when you asked me to do this.
I'm so happy to have you here. It's not often. Like, there are so many dynamic people online, but you know what you talk about at Grad Meets World is pretty phenomenal, and you have done a lot of very cool stuff with your life. So I want to hear more about it and tell everyone what awesome projects you've been on and the journey that you can share with our people.
Okay. What was the first question again?
Well, just tell us a bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and what you're working on.
Okay, well, I'm Amanda, and I run GradMeetsWorld.org, which basically started in November of 2010. It was after a stint of, 6 months of unemployment, and within those 6 months, I went to Europe, which was cool, except, for anyone out there who's wondering, Europe will not fix your problems. It is not like Eat, Pray, Love.
Because you didn't, totally pig out on, what is that, pasta, and then go to Indonesia.
Oh, no, I absolutely did when I was in Rome, but I didn't have any crazy enlightenment.
Oh,
when I got
damn.
Home, there was still no money in my bank account, and I still had no job. So within those 6 months, I started freelance writing to make some extra money while I looked for employment and got into the internet writing thing. And in November of 2010, shortly after landing my first, I guess, corporate America job, I started Grad Meets World, and it was just kind of for me, to have all these resources in one place. Personal finance, career development, entrepreneurship, because it's something I've always really been interested in. And just kind of a place for me to go and find all these tips and resources and stuff. And it kind of just went on from there. It just kind of exploded.
It exploded. Well, I think that's definitely how it goes. You just, one passion leads to another, and you just learn to explore. And
yeah.
So that your journey doesn't stop there, though. You're actually working on some new stuff, from what I hear.
Yeah, I actually just started my life coaching certification course, and I actually got off a coaching call right before we started talking.
That's exciting.
That's really cool. I'm still freelancing. I've also got the Better Blogging Jam sessions for like newbie bloggers. So any of you who need help, maybe like finding a voice or figuring out who your audience is. Sorry to get all English major on you, but like to figure out who your audience is and stuff like that. I do offer like 1 hour long Skype sessions to kind of help you figure that out. Let me see. I'm addicted to yoga. I just can't stop. And yeah, I've got a lot going on.
Well, that's awesome.
And on top of a full-time job.
Oh, yeah. Goodness gracious, girl. Yeah. You definitely. Well, I'm glad you're into yoga. That definitely would have to keep you balanced a little bit.
Yeah.
And everything.
It's become a top priority, actually.
Oh, for sure. Well, I think that's a good segue is prioritizing. Now, you know, we're going to be talking about figuring out how to brand your business. And, you know, really, how did you start to prioritize your interests when you first started out? Or were you just interested in everything?
I had no idea what the hell I was doing when I first started out, which I think is a common theme.
Right.
Among many bloggers and entrepreneurs and online business people. And, you know, what I did is I basically looked at my life and I said, what do I have going on right now? What do I need help with? And I just started publishing it online. I started finding the answers for myself and thought, well, you know, if I'm going through this, someone else must be going through it too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of how that started. And you know, sometimes I'll be on a personal finance kick. Other times I'll be on a health and fitness kick. Sometimes it'll be career development. It just really depends on my mood and what I'm dealing with in my own life.
Interesting. And so for people that are starting out, you know, not just blogging, but really working on their own business, you know, you kind of mentioned that sometimes you'll get on a kick. And I think for many creatives, no matter what they're doing, you kind of have to find that muse, that inspiration, and just kind of roll with her as she goes. But, you know, I know you and I have talked about trying to develop an audience. And so how do you leverage your personal inspiration versus what you think your audience needs or wants to hear?
All right. Well, at first, I think I would kind of tailor it to the internet reader, like, oh, you know, I would read those posts from like Copy Blogger and Pro Blogger. Oh, everyone loves lists. Everyone loves when you link back to all these people. And I would do that stuff, but I would do it in a way that actually added value to what my reader was looking for. So I wouldn't just like link random crap, mm-hmm. you know, because I thought it would give me high traffic. I would specifically set out to find, okay, this is going to help me, but it's going to help someone else.
Interesting. And so when you talk about value, you know, especially with new people that are just starting out, do you have any tips and tricks on how to recognize if what you're doing is providing value to people?
Listen to your audience. Mm-hmm. I'll get emails from people saying, oh, wow, this was really awesome. I really needed this, which is awesome. I love it when I get those. Your audience will let you know.
Mm-hmm.
They really will. I mean, they're not shy about it. If something really resonated with them and it touched them, they will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to them.
Very cool. And so, you know, I find, though, that sometimes when people are starting out, they get a bit discouraged when they don't have an audience yet. And so they're not really sure if they should just keep going or if they should try a different tactic. Do you have any thoughts or insights on how to, you know, start to build an audience and get a feel for your own voice sometimes when you don't always have consistent feedback?
Can you actually repeat that? Because you were going in and out a little bit.
Oh, not a problem. So when you're working with your blog and developing your voice, sometimes when we first start out, we don't have the added bonus of getting consistent feedback from people. Is there any way that you would recommend for people to start figuring out their voice if they don't have that feedback?
Okay, so you mean for new bloggers who are mm-hmm. just starting out
mm-hmm.
and maybe their audience isn't as vocal, how would they figure it out?
Right.
Pretty much?
Right. I mean, because one thing that I think you could say is that you could start making connections on Twitter or, you know, starting to post questions on your Facebook wall or starting to reach out to other bloggers. But I guess the question that I have really speaks to the heart of figuring out what's working for you and what doesn't work for you. Basically, what do you recommend for people that don't necessarily have a vocal audience yet you know, to start to figure out what really works for them? Are there any alternatives to, you know, comments or, you know, really touching emails that people could start to figure out if they have the right tone or if they're, what they're doing is right?
Google Analytics is a godsend.
Really? Yeah. Well, I mean, I know it's a godsend, but you know, I know it's awesome. I use Google Analytics myself, but I mean, you think that traffic is that where you're going with this or?
I'm not necessarily going with traffic, but with Google Analytics, you can really get in there and see what posts people keep going back to or what was popular on a certain day or what got shared. Mm-hmm. You know, I went with Lindsay Hunt, the Boomerang Kid, and she does like social media strategizing, and she went in there and showed me all this cool stuff that I didn't even know existed. All like, oh, look, you can track the tweets and you can track this. And it's a really cool tool that people can use to kind of see like, oh, well, I got like really crazy traffic on that day. What did I publish that day?
Mm.
Or who picked it up or, you know, stuff like that. And it's just kind of like putting the pieces to the puzzle together.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, because I think that's one thing that people don't think of. And, you know, you can go that way. And if you're not even to that point as a blogger where you actually have more than 10 people visiting a day, perhaps just to make connections with other bloggers in your niche and don't necessarily see them as competition, but really start to make connections and collaborate, whether you're posting a guest post on their blog or you're having them guest post on yours or you're doing an interview, certain ways to develop your voice and to start building an audience, different diverse ways to do that. So,
I actually like the collaborative one. That's awesome. Cause you can meet such awesome, like really cool people. And bloggers like to help bloggers.
Yeah, and if they don't, they're just
jerks.
We're not
scary. Pitch us.
Like. Right, pitch us. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so in terms of, like, developing your personal brand online, would you say, you know, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people, when they first start blogging, like, what are the big trademark flubs that either you did or did not make yourself? We don't have to get, you know, too nitty gritty into that, but some of the things that you wish people would not do or you wish they would do.
I guess one thing I've seen a lot is when they don't have a focus. Mm. And I know that's something I see commonly with the people that I do the Better Blogging Jam sessions with. They just kind of had no idea where they're going with it. So I hate reading blog posts that are like, I went to Starbucks today and I bought this Frappuccino and there was a really cute dog. And I hate that crap. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm like, how is this adding any value to my life?
Oh, that's you know? True. Yeah.
You know, but the better ones, you know, they have a focus, they're answering someone's question and they're genuine about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great, because I think that you can still draw upon your own experiences, and you can still talk about your own life, but it always boils down to, is this providing value to someone else? Is this something I would want to read if I hadn't written it?
Absolutely.
And I
it's
think,
like it's the same with people who create products. Like, if you wouldn't use your own product, how could you sell it to someone else?
Right. And it's so funny. I see people do that all the time online. It's like...
yeah.
You know, or they won't buy their competitor's product because they think it's like, it's utter crap. And I'm like, well, you kind of need to know what's out there, number one. And number two, it almost speaks to as if you don't believe in what you're selling because you think the whole genre is to pot and you kind of need to know what's out there.
Yep.
But I think speaking of value is a great way to start harnessing in what your brand is going to be about, and always focus on value, even if it's just your own meandering experience or a random funny story that you want to share. There always has to be what I call the three E's, which is entertainment, education, or oh crap, I just forgot the last E. That's really sad. It was education, entertainment, and, like, enrichment. I think that was the other one. Obviously, I'm really tired today, but it has to be one of those things that it has to be educational, enriching, or entertaining. Because not everything has to have, like, a moral at the end of the story, but you kind of do need to give somebody a reason to waste, you know, 5 minutes of their time on your site or get something golden out of it.
Yeah.
So in terms of building your brand a little bit more, I know we've discussed this in the past about, you know, first you want to identify your audience and you want to make sure that once you identify who your audience is, you know, you need to make sure that whatever you're putting out there, whether it's a blog post, a tweet, a video or whatever, you need to make sure you're providing value. The second thing I know we've talked about is identifying what your goals are for the blog. And I know you touched on this a little bit more previously, but would you be able to expand upon how important it is to have a purpose and goal for your brand and to identify that early on?
Yeah, I'm one of those people who completely procrastinated on that. I was just kind of writing with my own experience, and I was like, where is this going to take me? And as soon as I started seeing some traction and I started seeing improvement, not just in my life from the information I was finding, but there was also improvement in other people's lives, I kind of realized, oh, whoa, I could, like, do something with this, you know, like this is a cool little project I got going on here. And it wasn't even until recently when I was like, okay, I really need to sit down and see what I want this to be, where I want it to go, who I want it to reach, and what I want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that seems like a really daunting task to a lot of people. And I know that's why I procrastinated on it so much, but it really does help you so much. Just get like a more clear picture of what it is, of where you want to take it, what you want to make out of this.
Oh, totally. And I totally agree with how intimidating that is to sit down and to commit yourself to something, you know, because even if you feel like you're specific in a niche, like if you're writing, you know, a grad meets world, it's a general, you know, you're talking to a certain age group, a certain demographic, you know, people that attended college, but there still are a million and a half ways you could go with that particular blog. And it's usually so intimidating for people to sit down and pick a business name, to pick a domain name, to figure out what social media accounts they want, and then like a logo and a design and all that other stuff. It just gets super overwhelming.
Yeah, can I just make a point about logos and stuff like that?
Oh, sure.
Because I was never one of these people, but I've seen it in people that I've coached. If you are too damn picky over your logo and you don't want to publish something on the internet because your logo is not perfect, you need to reprioritize.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and well, and conversely, though, one thing that I've seen, at least on my end, is people that think that those kinds of things don't matter and that they can just whip something out on Photoshop with no experience.
No, those things absolutely matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like if you walked into someone's home, right, and saw that it was a total mess.
Right.
You would be completely freaked out.
Right.
You know, you want to walk in and see what's great. But I think the point I was trying to make was more, if you're nitpicking over little things, right? If you get stuck in the nitpicking and you think that if you don't get that perfect, then nothing else is going to be perfect and you're not worthy and you have imposter syndrome and you know, that's a whole other ballpark.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see that whole imposter syndrome all the time. And I totally see what you're saying because it's like, okay, well, I'm not good at writing. And before I start, you know, before I even publish my first blog post or before I put my business cards together, I need to read. And this is exactly what I did when I first started blogging. I went to the library and got every stinking book I could find. I went and bookmarked every single internet page I could find, every blog. I subscribed to all these podcasts. I inundated myself with perfection, procrastination, so that I would be like, okay, well, I'll get started when I'm perfect. And it's like, you're fooling yourself thinking that it's ever going to be awesome. You just have to get your hands dirty and know that you're going to look like an idiot your first couple months and do things that are silly and like total noob mistakes. But you just kind of have to embrace that because it's kind of a funny thing, especially when you look back at your work 6 months, a year, 2 years back, and you're like, wow, that's hilarious. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
And it's like, it can't even hold a candle to what I do now. But I think that's the great, you know, evolve that goes on when you really get your hands dirty and get into it. So yeah, I think that's really good. So you think that perhaps when people procrastinate like that, it's kind of a defense mechanism to just keep themselves out of the game. Is there any other kind of things that you see going on, especially when you talk to people that are starting these kinds of ventures?
It all comes back to like fear and confidence. And I think it's something that all entrepreneurs deal with. It's just having the balls to just take a leap. And taking a leap doesn't necessarily mean the drastic, I'm going to quit my 9-to-5 job tomorrow and start from scratch and eat ramen noodles for the next 6 months. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, I'm going to go live in a van under a bridge by the river because my business failed. You know,
Chris Farley it up. That's right.
Yeah. Taking a leap taking a leap could just mean, okay, tonight when I get home from work, I'm going to dedicate the next 3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour, whatever, to finding whatever it is that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even something like that is taking a leap that some people are just too scared to do.
Right. And one thing I would say is don't be afraid of being completely freaking wrong. Whether, I mean, because sometimes you're not going to know that you absolutely hate a topic until you blog about it for 2 months and go, oh, heck no, like, I can't keep this up. And that's okay. Like, get your hands dirty, you know, it costs
you. And that's a part of the process of trying to figure out your voice and your message, and it's all a part of the process.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that, you know, because you sound like a multi-talented, multi-passionate kind of woman. You do a lot of different stuff. I mean, how do you rein in that, and how have you evolved over time as you've blogged?
I've kind of stopped scheduling every aspect of my life, and I'm trying really hard to just kind of go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I typically post on my blog 3 times a week. I'm pretty consistent about it. If you're subscribed to the email list, you're going to be getting a video every Monday, and you're going to be getting posts on Wednesdays and Fridays as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a point where I can, like, churn out content like that because I just keep this little notebook around. But maybe on a bigger project, like, I was working on a coaching program not too long ago, and I got, like, totally stuck. I was like, I'm staring at this blank page, and I don't know what to do. And, you know, you just start going a little nuts there. Right. And before, you know, maybe like a year ago, I'd give myself like this crazy deadline and try and get it done and like pound it out pretty much with like blood, sweat, blood and tears and all traumatic and get really stressed out. And now it's more like I'm going to walk away and come back to this.
Right.
I'm going to come back to this when it's flowing because it might hit me while I'm in the shower. It might hit me at 4 o'clock in the morning. It might hit me during my lunch hour. It might hit me while I walk to my bus stop, you know, and it's just stuff like that happens all the time. And you just kind of got to learn to flow with it.
That is so funny because I was talking to a friend about creativity the other day and I said, forcing an idea, and this is going to sound so crude, like my grandmother's going to turn over in her grave, but forcing an idea is like trying to force a poop. There I said it. It's like, you can't do it. Like, don't bother. Don't just sit there reading a magazine for 3 hours. Like, move on with your life. Go. And like you said, you'll be in the shower. I mean, obviously, hopefully you're not pooping in the shower. But like, in terms of ideas, you know, those things are gonna crop up. And, you know, they've done studies on that where some of the best ideas have happened when somebody wasn't actively thinking about it, where your brain is tuned off, it's focused on a different task that has nothing to do with writing or painting or composing, whatever the hell you do, and you could be seriously changing your child's diaper or whatever, you know, you could be brushing your hair, you could be painting a house, and then bam, that idea is there. But when you sit there staring at a screen for 3 hours, don't punish yourself because the idea won't come. You have to, like, romance your muse. You just gotta go have a good scotch or something. I don't know. That's what I do, but that's probably not the best way for everybody to go do it. But, you know, do you have any, like, little hacks? You said you carry a notebook around with you. Are there any other, like, little tips and tricks and cool things that you do to kind of get in the mojo?
That's actually a really good question.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because I know, because I've heard of people having, like, routines, like, this whole, like, drawn-out, like, crazy routine before they sit at their laptop and start writing, and I'm just not like that at all. I'm just, if it hits me, it hits me. I do walk around with a notebook, which actually has a funny story behind it. I was at my day job, and I interviewed this person for a job, and they left their notebook behind, and there was nothing in it at all. They hadn't written a word. And I called them so they would come get it back. I even called them for a second interview, and they never showed up. So I looked at the notebook, and it actually says Carpe Diem in the front.
Wow.
And I was like, sign from the universe.
like yoink mine.
And now I use it to write down business ideas and not even just business ideas, blog ideas, coaching ideas, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the only thing I really have is that I've kind of made it a habit to write stuff down because I will completely forget otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. And so, you know, the notebook is one thing that I do as well. I now have a new routine where I have a stack of Post-its by my bed, and I will write something down and just slap it on the wall behind me. So when I wake up in the morning, I'll see it. I mean, I guess I could put it in my phone too, but sometimes when I'm reading, I want to write something down. Like, jotting it is a totally different experience for me.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. If I put it in my phone, I forget it's there. But if I actually, like, physically put the pen to the paper, it's, right, like, etched in my brain.
It's there. Yeah. And so, speaking of little hacks, are there a couple books or gurus or movies or whatever resources that you've used to develop your skills online that you'd want to share?
I just recently finished reading The Firestarter Sessions by Danielle Laporte, who I ran into by accident. I don't even remember. Yeah, I don't even remember how I ran into Danielle Laporte. And when I did, I was like, why did I not find this 2 years ago? She's amazing. And her lectures are awesome. She's straight. She's to the point. And she just kicks ass all around. Like, she really does. And her book, The Firestarter Sessions, just kind of like completely reworked the way I thought about all of this. You know, because one of the things that happens to entrepreneurs and even bloggers is like, oh man, I need to have X amount of dollars in my bank account. And then we get really upset when we don't have that money in the bank account. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden everything becomes about the money and not your audience.
Right. Or stats.
Or stats. Yeah,
stats is another way to do it. So many bloggers, you know, because a lot of people like yourself, you know, they have a day job and they blog because they love it. But then when they don't have like 3,000 followers on Twitter, they feel like half of a shell of a person.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't get, you know, picked up on StumbleUpon. I am a soulless human being. I am a fraud.
I will tell people it took me over a year to get picked up by The Consumerist. And it's just because I wrote this really angry post that came from the heart that pissed a lot of people off.
What was it?
Why it's okay to be a boomerang kid.
You tell him.
Yeah. Because I was just like, I am so fed up with seeing in the New York Times and everywhere on how my generation is screwed because the economy got messed up and they had to move back home. I am so sick of this crap that I'm going to tell people why it's a good thing that you had to move back home and how you can take it, like how you can turn it into a positive experience.
Look at you and your branding. Look at that. That is awesome.
I was just kind of pissed off when I wrote it.
Good.
And I published it and I had no idea it had even been picked up by The Consumerist. I went in there and looked at my numbers and I was like, did I get spammed? Like, what happened?
That's the best kind of spam, I suppose. Other than the kind that comes in a can.
But, you know, that took a year.
Right.
You know, over a year until I really found my voice and really found my message and really said, this is what I'm about. You know, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to teach people. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to inspire them to do. And I mean, yes, I pissed a lot of people off and I've just kind of gotten over the fear of pissing people off.
So in terms of being worried about pissing people off, I mean, we're often so worried in blogging that our business is going to alienate people. And in a normal business sphere, you don't want to piss people off, but they almost say in blogging that you should kind of alienate certain people because you want to focus on the people that like you and that get your message. Can you talk a bit more about not being afraid to piss people off?
Yeah, that's actually a really good one because I know it's something people deal with. I know when I first started blogging, I was very careful with editing and tailoring it. Just because I was getting clients and I was trying to be as professional as possible. But once I kind of started getting my tribe, as Seth Godin calls it, and I realized there was really a community that was resonating with this, I kind of just said, screw it. Now I'm really going to be myself, you know? And actually, the results were much better once I started being more authentic and really putting it out there. And yeah, I'm going to drop an F-bomb every once in a while. So what, you know?
Right.
The response was actually very positive.
No way. Well, that's good.
Yeah, and because people don't realize, like, you don't necessarily have to, like, close yourself off. If you're authentic and you're coming from a place of, like, sincerity, you're going to find the people that resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. They are out there. They will find you.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to make it clear to anyone that's listening, you may drop F-bombs, but you're still providing value to people.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's still your goal. You're not just like, oh, that effing so-and-so, like, screw these people. Even when you're mad, even when you're angry, you're still focused on value and making those connections and stimulating the thought processes when people read your blog.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think that's something important to keep in mind, that you can still provide value in your using your own unique viewpoint and your own life experiences. You don't have to segment that part off in you. That's the great thing about blogging, is that you are your brand. And even though that scares people, embrace it. Just lean into it, love it. You are your brand, and cultivate it to represent what you want it to represent.
And actually, I want to add to that a little bit, because a lot of people don't realize this. I've worked with a lot of bloggers one-on-one, and they're kind of like, well, I'm so shy because, you know, I don't think I'm any good, and I'm scared to do this. So I was like, did you publish that post, like, last Tuesday at 9 a.m. or not? And they're like, well, yeah, I did. I was like, you just published something on the internet where anyone in the world can find it. You have balls. You're fine.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, just get out there. I mean, not everything's going to be a raging success. Like, it's not going to be awesome all the time. You're not going to be a total genius every time you publish, but just get it out there. You know, get better. You're not going to be tapping into your awesome dynamic self until you actually get the cojones to hit publish a couple times.
Exactly.
That's awesome. I like the advice. So we're about coming up on the half hour here. Do you have any continued and closing words of wisdom you want to share with our listeners?
Oh, that's always a good one. Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is a good one that I tell a lot of my clients who are maybe into entrepreneurship, or they're blogging, or even this applies to daily life, really. So I'm all about the two P's. And it's perseverance and patience, and I kind of like to call them the two parts of the whole. With perseverance, you can get through anything, because you're going to get curveballs thrown at you. Things are going to go wrong, like Shannon and I know.
Amen, sister.
Things are going to go wrong. They're going to crash. You're going to make someone upset. I mean, it's going to happen. But perseverance is what's going to help you through it. And then in terms of patience, we're going to get anxious. We're going to start future tripping. We're going to start thinking, why am I still at this day job when I really want to be doing this? I want to be, you know, 10 years into the future. You know, that's going to happen. So, but with patience, you kind of just learn to, like, enjoy the ride, enjoy the dip, enjoy the bumps in the road. And I honestly feel that with the two of them, you're pretty much unstoppable.
Oh, that's
awesome.
In
anything that you try and do in life.
That's awesome. And I'm glad that you remembered what your two P's were, unlike myself, that could not remember the word enrichment. And I came up with education, entertainment, and what the hell was the last one? Yeah. This is what I do now for a living. I podcast about random what I think is enriching. But that is great. Patience and perseverance. Amen and high fives to you. That is some great closing wisdom. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You are wonderful, especially to just be so to prove perseverance in all you do, especially coming on the recording tonight. So you are amazing, Amanda. Thank you so much. And for anyone that wants to check out her stuff, I will have all the links to her amazing content at gradmeetsworld.org. I'll have that in the show notes on iTunes, and I'll also have it on my blog at thefrugalpreneur.com. Amanda, again, thank you so much for joining us, and you have a kick-ass night.
You too, Shannon. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.